Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
We live in an era unlike any in human history. Media provides instant mass communication, keeping us in touch with everything that happens around the world. It seems as though there is a relentless ocean of details in that information. There are fires, terrible fires that rage through our country and other countries, burning up people's homes, tearing up people's lives. There are typhoons and epidemics, outbreaks of measles in Europe, starvation and slavery in third world countries. There are earthquakes, hurricanes. Many times we are swept up in this constant barrage of information. Not to mention man-made disasters, such as wars, crimes, riots, sickness. There is so much to weep over in this world. This is a fallen planet. And sometimes, even believers suffer the catastrophes of life. Job speaks to us through the scriptures in 14:1. He asked a question. He said, "Why do I ever come from the womb to look on the sorrow and trouble of this world?" Sinners, all of us, come through and suffer the consequences of a fallen world. Bad things happen to good people, even believing people. But what happens to us is not like what happens to unbelievers. There is no judgment. There is only the peace of God working in trials through Him that allow us to escape judgment and merely grow spiritually and honor God through these trials and tribulations. The Jews, unlike many of us, but like many of us, did not know, truly know, or understand God. They believed that calamities were God's way of singling out people. You remember in Sodom and Gomorrah, the two cities that were destroyed, God seemed to single them out and destroy them. And yet, this was a closed mind to God's grace and mercy. As if those who suffer and die were worse somehow than those of us who survive. The truth is, they were all guilty and deserving of death. Everyone here is living on borrowed time. We borrow from the cross of Christ the life we live. We have that life and that possibility of becoming who God wants us to be. But sometimes we would rather have the applause of men than the applause of heaven. You know, I feel as though each of us can learn something from what Jesus says to people who are experiencing suffering vicariously. They're experiencing it in their bodies sometimes and deny it because in order to be sick, you had to be in their minds outside of God's will. That's just the way their religion taught them. That's what they thought. God has a message for us today in Luke. And I want each of us to embrace that message, to understand what Jesus was speaking about, and to open our hearts and minds to receive it. Let us pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given each and every one of us to turn away from those things that are wrecking our lives, those things that come to us that seem to be pleasurable for a season, but they are abhorrent in your eyes. Father, let us turn from our wicked ways and embrace you. You have promised that if we turn away from our wicked ways, you will open the windows of heaven and shower us with blessings. Father, we know that we're all sinners and we need a Savior. We need Jesus in our hearts. We need Jesus in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit guiding us, directing us, every step we take, every breath should be something that honors you. Father, forgive us for who we are, and may your word transform us into who you want us to be. Father, speak to us, I pray, in your words, not mine. Mine are the words of a sinful man. They're weak. We didn't come here to hear a weak message today. We came here to hear from you. And so cast my words out. May they never be remembered again. But what may be remembered are your words, for your words are life and death. Your words are the words of victory. Your words are the words that we've come to hear. So, Father, we turn this service over to you. Do as you want with each of us, for we ask it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let us read Luke 13. I'm going to read 1 through 9. There were present at the season some who told him, meaning Jesus, about the Galilean whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Are those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And when he came seeking fruit on it and found none, then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said unto him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it, and it bears fruit. Well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down." Jesus was talking to people who he knew had closed minds, minds filled with false facts, with fake news, with traditions, self-satisfying illusions. They thought they were going to escape tragedies because of their behavior. Some, as just some people today, become suicide bombers because they believe that to die a martyr's death, killing as many innocent people as possible, you will inherit harems in heaven. There'll be 70 virgins waiting for every man who kills this way. Jesus addressed the people who were against him. People who said, in effect, "We've always done it this way. You overstepped your authority. We won't listen. We think you are wrong." The group was telling Jesus they were going to live the way they always had. After all, they were good people. They were people like ourselves. Jesus listens. Jesus understands. And then Jesus sets the people straight. He knows what Pilate has done. He knows that Pilate is an evil man. He knows that he listens to Satan. He knows that the Galileans came up into the temple and were slaughtered with their sacrifices that they intended to offer, and that their blood was mingled with the blood of lambs and goats. He knows that. And he asked the people a question. Are you better than those who die? Are we better than Billy Graham, who died last week, because we're alive today? Are we better than the people in Mexico who died of sickness and disease and earthquakes recently? Are we better than the people of Africa who are dying and enslaved by people? Are we better than anybody? Can we say we're superior because we have accepted Christ and they haven't? Jesus' answer is in these words. You'll not only die, but you will not inherit eternal life if you don't repent. What did Jesus mean when he told them to repent? He didn't want a change in their behavior. He wanted a change of mind and heart. He wanted people to be his people. He didn't want them sitting around thinking they were better than others. He didn't want people to have pride. Oh, I know how hard it is to get rid of the prejudice that we've had that makes us feel better than someone else. I know how hard it is. Elton told me that he knew the job was tough before he took it. Each Christian should know what Jesus has to say. Jesus wants them to hear the truth and process that truth because it confronts our comfortable way of living. As the Bible tells us, to commit one sin is to commit them all, and therefore each and every one of us is in trouble. No one was safe. When you have a closed mind, you cannot hear the truth. You cannot understand the truth. The truth that is here that wants to set you free. You can't, because we are still sinners, saved by grace. That's the truth. And if you can't understand that concept, if you think that you're better than other people, that you're better than others because you're alive and you're healthy and you're wealthy and you're wise, then you're wrong. Because Jesus says you're wrong. Ones Jesus spoke to could not understand grace. They didn't understand grace. They understand works, but they didn't understand grace. They didn't understand God. They didn't understand. Do we reflect the attitudes of grace in our lives? Do we? Do we show grace to people that we consider are inferior in some way? No. I'm afraid we don't. I know that a change of mind allows others to be exalted and not ourselves. That is the change of mind that John the Baptist had. He was the greatest man ever born of woman, said Jesus. I believe that that's true. I believe that he was a great man of God. He didn't seem to have a whole lot of grace, but he had it. He was baptizing people who had closed minds. When they opened their minds, he baptized them. And John the Baptist said, I diminish so that Jesus can increase. Grace is the expression of God's love for you and for me, but not for us alone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He loves the whole world. That encompasses a whole lot, doesn't it? It means that he loved us while we were still sinners and his enemies, and we were cussing at him and screaming at him and not honoring him. He knows our hearts. And he knows that we're weak. And he loves us anyway. He cares for us. They just didn't understand. They didn't understand that grace is the expression of God's love for everyone. His grace covers all of us. We can receive that grace by renewing of our minds. That's what Jesus means by repent. He doesn't mean change of behavior. It's not a behavior modification. It's a transformation of your mind. Your mind must become the mind of Christ. You must live by His Word. Deuteronomy tells us that man does not live by bread alone. Jesus quoted that. He quoted that. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus said, I only do the things I hear the Father say to do. I only speak the words I hear the Father speak. He was in tune with our Heavenly Father, with God, our Father. And He knew that the renewing of our minds, the repentance, the change of mind that desires God and that focuses on His purposes and not our own is the only thing that we can do. He goes on to demonstrate that this grace that is on each of us, on everybody in the world, if we will only accept it. Jesus tells us the parable of the fig tree. Verses 6 through 9, he tells us this penetrating parable. It reinforces Jesus' point that we're all living on borrowed time. The fig tree is Israel. The first conditional cause, if it bears fruit. There's a third conditional clause there, if. If it bears fruit, it will not be cut down. But it gives us the opportunity to bear fruit, to be what we're supposed to be. To live the life we're supposed to live. It implies it may not. The facts are these. In the last year of Jesus' run on earth, the people remained fixed in their unbelief. And judgment was fast approaching Jerusalem. But there was still time to repent. There was still time for them to have a change of mind. There was still time for them. There is time for each of us. There is time now at this moment to repent, to have an open mind to what God is and what God is saying. Each of us has that opportunity. They had it then. They had it opportunity prior to the crucifixion. Time to hear and believe the teachings of Jesus. They had time to repent in the face of more displayed miraculous power that came not just from Jesus, but from God. Jesus was part of the Godhead. Let me just say something that's politically incorrect. Jesus is God. It's incorrect to say that. It's amazing, isn't it? Even in our churches, it is egregious to hear that He is the way, the truth, the life, that no man comes to the Father except by Him. It is an egregious thing to say. That's terrible. How can you say that? We won't listen. We'll close our minds. Judgment is near. And because they closed their minds to that, in four short decades, Rome would come and destroy Israel, do everything they could to wipe it off the face of the map. There was little hope that they would bear fruit of repentance. The fruit of repentance is a changed mind, leading, we hope, to a change of behavior. We hope that you will look to the things of God, not just to the things of man, to satisfy you. We hope that you will not look at salvation as merely an asbestos suit so that you escape the fires of hell. We hope that you love God as much as He loves you. Judgment is near. Next year, at any moment, the unsaved could perish. I am not God. Thank God I do not have the judgment in my reach. For I will tell you that in my own opinion, my 98-year-old mother-in-law, who every year, every moment of every year, stands on the precipice of death, she's not saved. That's my judgment. I praise God that through His grace and mercy, it's not necessarily. Because we all live on borrowed time, but God is not patient. His patience will wear out, and borrowed time will be used up, because neither is permanent. Bible exhorts sinners to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Jesus warned that generation of closed mind, like many of us today, for a little longer I will be with you. Then I go to Him that sent me. He says in John 7:33, I go away and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Now is the acceptable time. John 8:21 says, now is the moment of your salvation. I talked to Zacharias about Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday, we will be baptizing a whole lot of people. Many of those people have Spanish names. I was asking Zacharias to give me the names so that I could have them put on a Bible that I present each one of them. We will have the Lord's Supper. We will do all kinds of things on that wonderful, glorious day. But nothing reminds us of the fact that He is risen like the proclamation of the gospel. He is risen. People are buried with Him in death, in baptism, and awakened to the newness of life. He says in the Lord's Supper, if you love me, you will drink of this cup. And the Jews found it terrible. He said, this cup is my blood given for the remission of sins. Many people, not just the Christians, but the Jews or even Romans, thought that they were a pagan group, that they were literally drinking the blood and eating the flesh of people. That's not what Jesus meant. Those are the closed minds that made that assumption. Jesus was saying, this is wine. I turned water into wine. I now miraculously turn that, as you take it, into the blood of your system. I'm entering into you. He came to this earth and was laid in a feeding trough for you and for me. But that's love. That was an act of love that covers everybody on this earth. He came to die on a tree for you and me. He wanted us not to have closed minds, but to open our mind and embrace who God truly is. When God says He wants everyone to turn from their sins and come back to Jesus Christ, their Savior and Lord, He was not saying He wants everybody to fill hell. He says, I am building a heaven that will embrace every human being that I have created in my own image. But He's given us the power of choice, the power to choose, the power to choose who we will serve this day and for the rest of our lives. Will we serve God or will we serve man? Will we serve God or will we serve mammon? That is the question that each of us has. That is what each of us must answer. God loves you. He wants that love expressed through us. He doesn't want judgment. He doesn't want a feeling of superiority. He wants a humble and broken heart to receive Him. Can He find a place in your life to receive you today?
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.